Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
So if you got a Bible, let's look at it together. If you don't worry. We'll throw all these verses up here on the screen for you. Here's what it says in verse 1 of chapter 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happened among you. Now just pause there for a moment. Paul is asking these Thessalonian believers to pray for some things that only God can do. And what is something that only God can do? Exactly what the Bible says. Only God can make the word of the Lord, the gospel, speed ahead and be received by people. You say, Nick, well, why is that? Here's why. Because salvation is a work of the Lord. This was what we talked about last week. Our passage was all about that. If you look at 1 Corinthians, it says it this way. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. In other words, nobody can confess Christ as Lord. Nobody can come to faith in Christ apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. So this is why prayer is so a key to evangelism. Anybody in the room got somebody in your life that you've tried to win to Christ, but for whatever reason, they just have not received Jesus? You have brought the right arguments. You've brought apologetic things to them. You've loved them well. You've brought them to church with you. But for whatever reason, they have not gotten saved. And you wonder, Nick, why is that? Here's why. Because salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. So if you would say, Nick, I do identify with what you just said. I've got a friend, I got a family member, I got a parent, a child, an uncle, a friend, coworker, whatever, who I've tried to win them to Christ, but they have not gotten saved. What should I do? I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 is a great prayer to pray for them, that the word of the Lord would speed ahead by the power of God in their lives. By the way, if you're here today in this room, maybe you're watching at home today, And you'd say, Nick, that's never happened in me before. Like, I've never put my faith in Jesus. What I would encourage you to do today is to give your life to Christ. Some of you come week after week after week, and you hear us talk about the gospel over and over and over, and every single week you feel the need to respond over and over and over. But for whatever reason, you've pushed it off, you've said no, and here's what I would tell you. If God is calling, it's time to answer that call. You do not come to Christ whenever you want to come to Christ. You come when the Holy Spirit is calling. So if the Holy Spirit is calling, it's time to answer the call, okay? Now, move beyond just the personal. What a great prayer for us as a church, by the way. As you look at all that we're doing, all that we're about to embark upon as a church, this is a great verse to pray for not just you, but for us collectively. You heard Ryan talk about on the screen probably 6 weeks ago. We announced that we are starting our own seminary, which is just like graduate school for people going into ministry and missions. And why are we doing that? So that the word of the Lord would speed ahead. We want to take the masses of college students at our church, and we want to point them as arrows to a lost world and say, hey, go reach the world with the gospel and do something that only God can do. And we also want the word of God to be honored, which is what the Bible mentions here. This means we want the men and women who go through our seminary to be able to teach the word of God rightly in whatever church, whatever context they find themselves in. That is a part of honoring the word. Now keep reading. Look at verse 2. Paul says, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Great reminder for us today. Not all have faith. This is a reminder to us, and the Bible would say this over and over in different ways, in different contexts. There are enemies of the gospel. Now, we're called to love our enemies. We're called to treat them well. All that is true. But this is a spiritual reminder that there are those who oppose the gospel message. In fact, the Bible would say, do not be surprised when people come against you in your work of sharing the gospel. But anticipate, even expect that when you step out and share the gospel with people in your workplace, people in your school, whatever it may be, expect there to be opposition to the work of the gospel. Paul asked that they would be delivered from wicked and evil men. Now, if you're a note taker, write these things down. Wicked here carries the idea with it of perverse people. In other words, these people are stubborn, they're obstinate in their denial of the gospel, and their willful stance against those who preach it. So they just stand in a stubborn way, in a perverse manner, and they are wicked people. Then he says a second word. He calls these people evil. And this is not just like a person who is saying, well, hey, let's just agree to disagree. You believe in Jesus, I don't. We'll just call it good. That's not what the Bible is referencing here. These people, when he calls them evil, it is speaking to those who are actively harmful. They're not just politely disagreeing, like I said, but they are actively working against the work of the gospel. Why? Because not all have faith. This passage here teaches us something about what happens when the gospel is preached. Okay, we're a gospel preaching church. We hope that you are gospel preaching people out there beyond the four walls of the church. But what happens when the gospel is preached? Two things happen, okay? Number one, it goes forward, okay? That's really the mindset of verse one, that people get saved. It's why we're so intentional in all of our gatherings to share the gospel. It doesn't matter what passage of scripture we're talking about, we're ultimately going to connect it back to your need for Jesus and his call upon your life. That's why if you were to go and spend some time in the kids' ministry, they're gonna be sharing the gospel with your children. That's why if you come on Wednesday nights for a student ministry, Tim, our student pastor, he's going to be sharing the gospel with your teenagers. That's why if you walk into a C3 gathering of college students on Wednesday nights, Luke Harper, he's going to be sharing the gospel over and over and over, no matter what passage of the Bible we are preaching. Ultimately, we're making our way back to the cross. By the way, if you don't know, that's what we do. That's what we do every single Sunday in some ways. We're always gonna make our way back to Jesus no matter what we are covering, okay? The word does not return void. The gospel is preached and people get saved. This past week, I had a 74-year-old man reach out to my office and he wanted to sit down with me. I didn't really know what he wanted to sit down about. And so he comes in my office, I have one of our other pastors sitting in the room with me. And the 74-year-old man basically wanted to schedule a meeting because he wasn't settled on where he was with the Lord. 74 years old and comes to church every single week and wasn't sure really where he was at with God. And so we sit down in my office and he begins to kind of share his story. I'm asking him questions. And we get to a point where I say, I just got to be honest with you, like from what you're telling me, I think you need to give your life to Christ. And I turned to the other pastor in the room and I said, correct me if I'm wrong, because he's hearing exactly what I'm hearing. He said, no, I think you're right. I think you need to get saved. And the man was essentially like, well, can we do that right now? And so a 74-year-old man got saved in my office this week. Why? Because God had been working on his heart and he had been in church every single week. And what did he hear? Just the gospel again and again and again and again. Maybe that's your story. That you're a church person and you hear the gospel, you show up to church every single week, and in some way you're hearing us talk about the gospel, and every single week you're feeling a longing to respond. What is that? That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and guess what? It's time to get saved, brother, okay? It's time to get saved, sister. It is time to receive what God is doing. So when the gospel is preached, it goes forward, people get saved. Number two is this, it gets opposed. It gets opposed. This is what this verse is teaching us. The work of God will be opposed. So everybody listen. No matter how you're trying to play out the Great Commission in your own family, in your neighborhood, with other parents who, you know, your kids play ball with their kids, to your office, to your dorm, to your middle school, whatever it may be, the work of God will always be opposed. When the gospel is preached, opponents will rise up. Why? Because not all have faith. One author wrote it this way. He said, the gospel is not always embraced with faith. Indeed, it frequently provokes violent hostility. That's interesting. So some people receive it, but not everybody receives it. And sometimes it frequently provokes a violent hostility. Do you ever see people have a violent hostility according to something in the Word of God. It usually, in our day, is like some hot topic, like modern thing, that people hear what God says in His Word, and they like shake their fist at God, like, no, okay? Like, don't tell me what to do with my body. Don't tell me what to do with my sexuality. Don't tell me what to do with you fill in the blank for whatever that is in your own life, and my life. Of God, I don't want to live the way that you've called me to live. I want to live my own way. I want to do my own thing. Whatever feels good, that's what I want to do. And it is a violent reaction to the gospel, okay? The work of God will always be opposed, sometimes very publicly, sometimes in a more covert, behind the scenes manner. By the way, this holds true in your own life as you seek to do these things, the work of God, in your own sphere of influence. Don't forget this. Whenever you make a decision to move forward spiritually, you need to expect the opposition of the enemy. Let me say it to you again. Whenever you make a decision to move forward spiritually, you need to expect the opposition of the enemy. If you're like me, I'm already beginning to think about 2024, okay? It's hard to say we're in 2024, does it not? I mean, remember Y2K? We made it through, okay? Now here we are 24 years later, and here's what you gotta think about. In the new year, what does God want from my life? I'm already beginning to think about those things. Habits I wanna break, weight I wanna lose, you know, spiritual things I wanna improve in my life. Anybody else in the room? Like, I'm already beginning to turn my attention there in the last few weeks of the year. But here's what I would tell you. As you seek to do those things in the coming year, you need to expect the opposition of God in your life. So if you set out and you say, Nick, I wanna walk in purity, expect temptation. Or you say, Nick, in 2024, I wanna walk in generosity, expect some financial stuff. Or Nick, I wanna walk in finally in forgiveness. And no more bitterness in my life. Okay, expect that person to mess you over again, right? Whenever you try to take a step forward spiritually, expect the opposition of the enemy. Sometime in the last few years, I heard a statement. I don't even remember where I heard it or who said it. Usually when that happens, I just claim that I said it, okay? But I really didn't say this. But somebody else did. But here's what they said. When you have the applause of heaven, you will have the assault of hell. When you have the applause of heaven, you will have the assault of hell. Do you ever have those times in your life where you think, man, I'm like really walking with Christ right now. Like I'm really, man, I'm walking in obedience to the Word of God. I don't have any hidden nook and crannies in my life. There's no closet doors that are not open and cleaned out in my heart. Like I'm just really on par with the Lord. And you sense that God's like, hey, that's awesome, man. Go forward. When that happens, expect all hell to break loose in your life. Okay? And I mean that like from hell. Expect that to rise up in your life. I experienced that in my own life when I'm walking with Christ. I experienced that in my leadership with the church. Whenever we have a big initiative here at the church, like starting a seminary or in April when we announced the C3 building or Easter weekend, Meredith and I just naturally expect stuff to hit the fan. Okay? We expect things to break. We expect kids to puke in our house. We expect everything to go wrong. Why? Because we have seen over and over again, if Satan can't stop the Word of God, he'll just make you miserable in the midst of the work of God and just try to twist some things and make you discouraged. And we expect spiritual warfare. We expect hell to rise up. And on a big grand scale, that's what Paul is saying to us as believers. As you follow Christ, as you seek to follow him in every part of your life, expect the opposition of God. Now, the fact that we're gonna have people rise up against us, should that make us stop, yes or no? That's not very strong. Let's try it again. Because we have opponents of the gospel, does that mean we need to stop preaching the gospel, yes or no?
No.
That's what I was looking for right there, okay? Does it mean that we need to be afraid of these people? Yes or no?
No,
we don't need to be afraid. So it doesn't mean that we cower back or we stop following Jesus or moving ahead in faith. Why can we do that? Verse 3, keep on reading. But the Lord is faithful. Underline it, highlight it, star it, copy it, punch the person next to you, tell them to read it to you as well. But the Lord is faithful. Then I want you to underline two words here. He will establish you, underline that word, establish, and guard, underline the word guard, you against the evil one, which is Satan, okay? Let's go back to the beginning. But the Lord is faithful. So you can and should let that statement flow from your lips during every struggle and during every trial. This needs to be common lingo in your life, common lingo in your family, common lingo in the body of believers called the church, that as we hear one another walking through suffering, walking through trials, we just kind of hit each other in the arm and say, hey, but the Lord is faithful. Like he's faithful, even in the midst of all that you are walking through. So let's like take the whole passage, first three verses all together. Here's what the Bible is saying to us. Only God can make the word of the Lord speed ahead. And as that happens, there will be vicious opponents to the work of God and to the work of the gospel, but the Lord is faithful. So just like we can bank on hell rising up when we try to follow Christ, we can also bank on the fact that God himself will be faithful. He promises these two things to us that I had you underline these two words. He promises to establish us and to guard us. These are really cool words here, okay? Number one, establish carries the idea of God's ability to strengthen you or to make firm or stable. Anybody out there need that today? Like I need God to firm me up and to make me stable in the midst of a lot of instability in life or in our family or whatever it may be for you. Anybody, I know you're not really supposed to say this in church, but anybody just feel weak towards sin sometimes? Anybody just feel like, you know what, Nick, sometimes I don't want to say no to sin. Sometimes spiritual warfare is really hard. And sometimes I just really want to give in and I just feel so weak before sin. Praise be to God, he has the ability to strengthen us when we feel weak. In whatever way that is, and maybe that is what you need here today, okay? The second word I had you underline is the word guard. And I love this one. Guard carries with it the idea of protection. It is referencing a military guard who keeps watch over someone. So think about Secret Service agents who protect the president, who they're buff, they're dressed well, sunglasses and earpieces, okay? They look a lot like our security here at church. You know, they're around you, by the way, just look for the earpieces. And think about this in the realm of a Secret Service agent, that they are always watching, always got your back, always looking out, even when you aren't looking out for yourself. And here's the promise of what 2 Thessalonians is teaching us. God himself promises to be a military guard over your life. It's pretty powerful. That he can provide protection like only he can. So again, do not be afraid of opposition. Do not be afraid of wicked and vile people in your life. Because God himself is faithful and he will establish you. He'll make you firm when you're weak, stable when you're unstable, and he will protect you like a military guard like no one else can. That's a pretty good word, is it not? Praise the Lord for the Bible. Let's wrap up this passage. Look at verse 4. He says, "And we have confidence in the Lord about you that you are doing and will do the things that we command." So Paul's expressing confidence, like, man, you are being obedient to God. He's praising them for how they are obeying God. Verse 5, "May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and the steadfastness of Christ." That's a beautiful prayer, is it not? This is a great prayer to pray for us right now during the holiday season, that may the Lord direct our hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. When the word direct here is used, it is speaking of guiding your feet, so guiding to the right, to the left, and it is the idea of clearing obstacles, okay? Anybody run track back in high school? And the older you get, the better you were. That's how it was for me, okay? I ran hurdles in high school, which That's about as flexible as I am right now. But that was an obstacle in the race that you had to leap over. Here's the picture that God would direct your steps and that he would clear the obstacles in your life so that you would understand a few things. What does God want you to understand right now? Number one, the love of God. The love of God. If God is anything, he is love. The most famous verse in all the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This means in this manner, God loved you. What did he do for you? He gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Paul says it this way, related to the love of God. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, there's three different books of the Bible we just read. Do we think that God is concerned with us knowing the love of God? I mean, it is repeated in the Bible again and again and again and again. And out of all the things that Paul could have prayed for these people, he says, man, I want your hearts directed to understand the love of God. Such an elementary thing. I mean, if you were raised in church, you were literally rocked as a child, and some preschool worker was like, man, God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves little children. And they would just sing to you, right? So this is like the basic of the most basic of the most basic elementary truth of the faith. And the Bible comes back to it again and again and again and again. If you've been on this journey with us the last several weeks together, have you seen a theme rise up out of the book of 2 Thessalonians? Like the last 3 weeks, what has it been? The love of God. That God loves you deeply. He loves you perfectly in a world where you are loved imperfectly. Maybe you've been messed over by a family member, by your entire family, by a boss, a coworker, a roommate, a friend at school, whatever it may be in your life, and you think, man, I have been wronged in so many ways, and I have been imperfectly loved. God is a father who loves you perfectly, not based on what you have done for him, but based on what he has done for you. Romans says it this way, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here's what that means. God made a decision to love you and to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for you before you ever had any thought of cleaning up your life. Most people come into church and they hear a message like this and they want to leave immediately and they think to themselves, okay, I gotta clean up, man. I gotta stop doing this. I gotta stop seeing her for sure, stop seeing him for sure. Gotta stop this, gotta stop going there, stop hanging with these people. I gotta clean myself up and then God will accept me. In the Bible, it's flipped wholeheartedly. That before you ever even had a thought of God, God loved you in such a way that he sent Jesus. And you don't have to clean yourself up to God. You come to God and he cleans you up. That's the picture of salvation in the Bible. And I want to ask you, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever received the love of God into your life? The Bible closes out with this phrase that we would understand not only the love of God, but the steadfastness of Christ. Kind of an interesting phrase. We don't talk in that lingo much in today's language in English. The word steadfast here in the Greek is the Greek word hupomene, and it literally means this, to abide under, which again, even as I say that, you're like, I still don't have it. What does this mean? That my mind would be drawn to the steadfastness of Christ. In other words, that I would abide under. Nick, what does this mean? If you don't get anything else today, Christian, I want you to get this. It's a powerful, powerful word here as we wrap up. To abide under, to remind yourself of the steadfastness of Christ is referencing submitting yourself to things that God is allowing in your life, knowing that he is faithful. Let me say it to you again. This is referencing submitting yourself to things that God is allowing in your life because you know that God is faithful. Let me give you a picture, okay? Every person here has problems, okay? You got problems, I got problems, we all got problems, okay? And we come to forks in the road when we have a trial, a problem, suffering, an issue with, relationally, whatever it may be in your life. And every single time as a follower of Jesus, you got two options on how you can respond. Our first response is normally a reaction more than a response. And it's often when we want to shake our fist at God. Anybody been there before? Anybody been there like this week? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to deal with this right now? Why is this going on? Why me? Why me? Why me? And you get angry with God. You shake your fist. You say, man, this is a bunch of bull. I cannot believe this is happening to me in my life. That's one option, okay? And if we're honest, we all been there a time or two or a million, okay? The other fork in the road is what 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is pushing us towards today. That you experience things in your life of suffering. And it's not like you like it. It's not like you're like some kind of fake spirituality of, man, this is amazing, Lord. I thank you for my terrible situation right here. And it's just so broken. And I'm just praising you. It's not like a superficial spirituality, but it is a supernatural submission. Where you say, Lord, I would have never chosen this for myself. I really cannot believe I'm walking through this, but I do believe that you're faithful and I do believe that you have allowed this in my life. And so I am willingly submitting myself under you. I am making a decision to abide under the plan of God in my life with all its warts and with all its struggles. And so let me speak to every believer in the room. Where are you right now? Because most likely every one of us has at least one thing, if not several, that are going wrong in your life or that are just moments of tension in your life or moments of like just flat out pain and suffering. You scraped yourself out of bed to walk into church today. Are you at a place of anger with the Lord, shaking your fist? Or are you at a place of just a submission to God saying, Lord, I don't know that I understand, but I just choose to trust. And I know that you are faithful. I just, out of all the things I don't know. And by the way, there's a lot of things that we don't know in the midst of things like this. But the one thing, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, that you can know, but the Lord is faithful. So let it ring out from your mouths this week. Let it ring out in the lobby today as you're having casual conversation with people and they're opening up. Hey, but the Lord is faithful. But the Lord is faithful. But the Lord, he is faithful to you. Can we bow our head and close our eyes together today? Please, no one moving or leaving right now. The most important part of the service, this last little section right here, will be out literally in a few moments. Our staff are coming up here, and these men and women are coming up here specifically for you. That if you're here today, and as I talk about surrendering your life to Jesus and being saved, forgiven of your sin, you'd be honest enough to say with me, Nick, that's never happened in my life, but I know. Maybe you're just like that 74-year-old man, maybe regardless of what age you are, but you're here at church every single week. And you hear the gospel every single week, and every single week you think to yourself, man, okay, if I can just hold on a little bit longer, this guy's gonna stop talking and the service will be over and I can get out and I can just move on and not have to deal with it. Can I ask you a question? What are you winning by putting it off for another week? Another week of laying your head on a pillow, thinking to yourself, man, if I die in my sleep, where am I gonna go? Another week of uncertainty, another week of unrest. Today, God has you here on purpose in a message where the gospel's been clearly taught that God loves you right where you're at. And if you will submit your life to him today, He'll save you and He'll forgive you of all your sins. You say, well, Nick, how do I do that? This is why the men and women of our staff, our team are up here before you. In just a moment, as soon as we stand, we're gonna sing just part of a final song. And if that's you, I'm gonna ask you to leave where your seat is, and I'm gonna ask you just to come to one of these men or women. All you gotta say is this: I need to give my life to Christ. It's gonna be a bold step, but you're surrounded by people who are pumped for you, okay? You're surrounded by people who, at some point, many of them have had that same experience. This may be a great day to just turn to the person next to you and say, hey, if you need to go, I'll go with you. I'll walk forward with you. And you come and you tell them that all we're gonna do is have a conversation with you. We'll answer any question you got. You're not gonna be pulled up on stage. You're not gonna have to do anything weird, but in a very private moment, they will lead you to faith in Christ. Is that you today? Every follower of Jesus who I just spoke to just a moment ago, I wonder who here is in that fork in the road place where you've got a decision today of, am I going to willfully submit to what God is doing in my life, what He is allowing in my life, or am I going to fight against the work of God in my life? Only you can submit in your own life. Spouse can't do it for you. Parents can't do it for you. How many of you just need to come to this altar and get on your knees and just say, Lord, I submit to what You're doing. I just trust in what You're doing. How many of you just need prayer over something? Maybe you need to come to one of our staff and say, hey, this is what we're walking through, and just allow us to minister to you through prayer. But whatever it is, I'm gonna encourage you to take a step towards the Lord right now. Lord Jesus, we pray that the word of the Lord would speed ahead in ways that only You can make it. We trust You to move right now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.